Hello and welcome to this, the ninth episode of the James Newton Podcast. It's that time of the month again. The Carnival of Video Game Bloggers is passing through town, so naturally I'll be casting my overlord's eye over this month's entries and telling you how you can get involved and possibly even host a future carnival. There's also extra news tidbits, including a world exclusive as I don't talk about the Halo 3 beta. All coming up in the next 10 minutes. When I first started the Carnival of Video Game Bloggers about 3 months ago, I didn't really know how well it would work out, but I've been impossibly pleased by the reaction and the content that's been submitted. After last month's Sterling Carnival from Phil Newton at sodaware.net, this time around it's down to Akisai at vgmusings.blogspot.com to deliver the quality content. We've had a dozen or so entries, and here are my three. Kevin McGinn from the Prometheus Perspective writes on a topic that's very close to my heart, video games as literature, treating them as narrative structures and identifying which games, if any, are worthy of the title literature. It's the kind of intelligent gaming article that I really love to read, and I'm sure you will too, so well done and thanks Kevin. Next up is a very sweetly named Optimist Under Siege and her article on the god and not so goddess of video games. Telling her tale of how she and video games got together in the first place, it's a touching and amusing piece that I really enjoyed reading. Brian De Silva submitted his real gaming review of an interesting sounding PC game called Phosphor, a browser-based first-person shooter with internet multiplayer, which is the first that I've heard of. If you like your reviews honest, with an amusing twist of bitterness in there as well, I'm sure you will enjoy this article. I'm immensely grateful to everyone who takes the time to submit, read and comment on Carnival articles. Even if this is your first Carnival, I hope you felt welcome. I do appreciate everything you've submitted. If this is your third, fourth Carnival now, again, thank you very much. If you would like to get involved in the next one, there's a link on the homepage at www.prosody.co.uk. If you'd like to host a future Carnival, do get in touch with me and we can sort something out. I promised you a world exclusive, and here it comes. Everywhere on the internet is discussing some game demo, I don't know what it is. But as only the very biggest news gets featured on the James Newton Podcast, I decided to leave it out and run with the real big news of this week. Knights, Journey of Dreams, is to be released in Japan under a different name. Yes, it's a bombshell. This is why I'm bringing it to you. It's now going to be known as Knights, Story of the Knight of the Falling Stars, or, if you'll permit my very rusty Japanese, Knights Hoshifuru Yono Monogatari. Members of staff at the Independent Gaming Network claim they've seen an early version of the game running, and yet, unfortunately, there's not been any videos released yet. And despite Takashi Iizuka's many interviews and the game appearing on the cover of pretty much every game magazine at the moment, there's still precious little information available to answer the main questions. Will there be A-Life? Will the music remix? What are the online features like? Obviously the nature, you know, how does the game play and so on, that's secondary. We need those three things. Hopefully, in the coming weeks, we will see some more screenshots and videos released so we can finally see Knights in action. It'll be a very teary. Sticking with Sega sequels, Sega Rally Revo has been shown off to some journalists and subsequently the internet this week, and is looking awesome so far, with plenty of the rear-swinging, mud-slinging, hairpin-clinging gameplay that Sega Rally is renowned for. Just watching the in-car view slip all over the track brought back many, many happy memories from Sega Rally on the Saturn. All the much-touted ground reforming features seem to work quite well as well. water will fall into ditches, and if it mixes with the soil it will make mud, which will then be splashed onto cars and so on. How much it will affect the gameplay, apparently, is a great deal, but we'll have to make sure and see. Allegedly, there's also no car deformation, so no matter how much you crash, you will always have a muddy and yet perfectly formed car. It doesn't bother me, because it's still Sega Wii. Definitely, definitely keep your eyes out for this one. The other Sega sequel out this year, Virtual Fighter 5, obviously, is already out on PlayStation 3. They've started showing the first screenshots from the Xbox 360 version, and I must be the only person really not impressed with them. The models look flat, the lighting doesn't seem to work properly, the textures are just poor. I know it's an early version of the game, but it's supposed to be coming out in the summer, which I reckon is 3 months long, at the most. So all they need to do is just speed up and really tighten up the graphics. Even without online play, it's still Virtual Fighter 5, it's still going to be awesome. But just work on the graphics, please. As always, thank you very much for listening to this. It was the 9th episode now. It's hard to believe it's been going for 2-3 months. If you have any suggestions for how I can improve the podcast, please do leave them in a comment. And don't forget to check out the Carnival of Video Game Bloggers. If you are interested in hosting a future edition, I can highly recommend it. It's hard work, but it is exciting. It's great writing practice, and it does bring in the extra readers as everyone circulates the links. So do get in touch with a comment, and we'll get something sorted. Until next week, see you then.